All right, Matthew chapter 6, I've titled our lesson this morning, Light and Darkness. We'll just look at two verses, Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Light and darkness. Light is what enables us to see. I find the older that I get, if I'm reading a book or something, the more light that I need. I remember sitting in a room reading, and my dad would come in and say, "How come you're reading in the dark? It's not dark." Now that's what I say. I need more light to be able to read and see. Well, you know, the same thing's true spiritually. We need spiritual light to be able to see. And when we talk about see, we're talking about understanding spiritual truth. We need God to give us spiritual light to see God, to know who God is, to understand what God's like, His character. He's not like we think He is. He's how He is, how He's revealed in His Word. We need spiritual light to see who we are. We're not who we think we are either. We need spiritual light to see how sinful that we really are and how much we need God to save us. We need spiritual light to be able to see and to understand how is it God saves sinners. Now, we need spiritual light to make us be able to see, to understand these great truths. But, you know, we also need spiritual light to be able to love these truths. It's not just seeing and understanding with a head knowledge. It's to love these truths. The Lord, when He speaks of light, He talks about light and life. It's light to see and life to love. That's what He's talking about. And darkness has to do with death and unbelief. Now look at John chapter 8. We need this spiritual light. And you know that the Lord Jesus Christ is that light. He is the light that we need. We'll see everything as it is if we see it in His light, in light of who He is. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. See, He's talking about light and life, and darkness is death. Look at John chapter 1. If we have Christ, we have both light and life. John 1, verse 4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. He is the light. And this tells you how blind, how deaf, how dead we are. That light shined in the darkness, but we couldn't see it. God has to reveal that light that's shining. That's what verse 5 says. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That just shows you how dead, spiritually dead and blind we are. The light shined in darkness, and we didn't know it. God has to reveal that to us. So light has to do with life. Now look in Acts chapter 26. Darkness has to do with unbelief and death. Acts 26, verse 18. The Apostle Paul says, this is why Christ came and why the Lord was sending Him out to preach. Verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. From darkness to light. And the darkness is the power of Satan unto God the light, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That's how we're turned from darkness to light, from Satan to God, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. The way that God has ordained to give life to His people, the way that He has ordained to turn His people from our darkness to His light, is through the preaching of Christ. This is how Christ is revealed. Christ the light is revealed through the preaching of the gospel. 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. This was determined by God before the world began. But we didn't know anything about it, did we? That's why he says, verse 10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and he hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Christ the light, Christ the life is made manifest, is seen through the preaching of the gospel. Now, back in our text, Matthew chapter 6, the Lord is teaching him. He talks about this light and darkness. He's teaching us how much we need him. That's the point of these verses, how much we need Christ. We are either filled with light or we're filled with darkness. There's no in between. There's no shades of gray. And by nature, we're all darkness. We have a nature that will not believe God. We have a nature that hates God. We're all darkness. And since we're all darkness, we refuse to come to Christ. We refuse to trust him. We refuse to love him. We refuse to beg him for mercy. We're full of darkness. So if we're going to have light, we need God to fill us with light, or we're going to stay in our darkness. Now here's something that's very sobering. A human being can be fooled on this matter of light. That's what the Lord says. You can think you have light, but really what you think is light is darkness. We can think we have light when we don't have it. Well, if that's the case, if we think we have light and we don't, we're in great darkness, in great danger. And I tell you what great darkness is. Dan mentioned it in his prayer. It's having a head knowledge of spiritual truth. Great darkness is having a head knowledge of Christ. It's having a head knowledge of the ABCs, the technical ways that it is that God saves sinners. It's to have a head knowledge of those things without an experience of grace in the heart. That's great darkness. Great darkness is knowing who the Lord is. It's knowing some facts and figures from Scripture, but it's not knowing him. It's not trusting him. And I'll give you a perfect example, the demons. They knew the Lord Jesus was the Holy One, didn't they? That's who they called him. You're the Holy One. They knew who he was, but they didn't believe him. They didn't beg him for mercy, and that is great darkness. Now, I would say this, and I would venture to say, everybody in this room would say this. I'm pretty sure I've got some light. I'm pretty sure God's given me some understanding. He's given me some good teachers. I feel like he's given me some understanding of Christ from the Scriptures. But a man can be fooled about this matter of light. So how can I know if I have light or darkness? How can I know if what I think is light, is it light or is it darkness? How can I know? Well, the answer's simple. And really, it's the answer to every question about salvation. The answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe Christ alone, you're full of light. If you believe Christ alone without anything that you do to be added to it, your body's full of light. But if you think salvation is Christ, plus even the smallest thing you do to make it effectual, you're full of darkness. I don't care what it is that you know. You can know true facts, you know, from Scripture. But if you think you've got to do something to make that effectual, that one little thing that you think that you can do, or that you have to do, and I guess if you think you have to do it, you think you can do it, makes your body full of darkness. Now that's what the Lord meant when he said the light of the body is the eye. I looked up that word eye. It means vision. But you know, it also means envy. It means envy. It comes from the word which means to gaze upon. And that fits just exactly in context with what the Lord's been teaching. He's been telling us true religion is from the heart. It's a motive. It's not the outward act. It's from the heart. And we saw the verses last week. The Lord talked to us about our treasure. What's your treasure? What is it that is your heart's desire? That thing which is our treasure is the thing that we want more than anything else, and we'll give up everything to get it. That's our treasure. Well, if the Lord Jesus Christ is your treasure, you'll gaze upon Him. You will envy having Him, so you won't look away from Him. And if you're looking at Christ alone, and you're trusting Christ alone, then your whole body's full of light, because He is the light of the world. The Lord says if your eye is single, if you're looking to Christ alone with one single focal point, your body's full of light if you're looking to Christ alone. And that word single means exactly what you think it means. It means single. It's a single focal point. And it comes from the Greek word meaning alpha. The first and foremost thing. If Christ is the first and foremost thing to us, if He's our single focal point, then our whole body is full of light. And everything becomes simple when you're looking at one thing. Everything becomes simple. When all you need is one thing, everything becomes simple. It's simple because nothing else matters. That's why Scripture calls the gospel the simplicity of Christ, because Christ is the single focal point. He's the single subject of it. I heard a quote from Brother Chris Cunningham this week. He said, if every message that I preach should be able to entitle it Christ and Him Crucified. And if you can't, it ought not be preached. Because Christ is the single focal point. He's the single subject of the gospel. And if our single focal point is Christ, suddenly the gospel becomes simple. The gospel is the gospel of the eternal God. The gospel reveals the glory of God. The gospel is the most majestic, all-encompassing story that there is. It's so great, the gospel is, it's so great that the best human minds cannot comprehend it. But the gospel is so simple, a little child can understand it and believe it. Because the single subject, the single focus of the gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're not wrong. It's not presumptuous to say we have spiritual light if Christ is our single focal point. And that's what the whole gospel tells us. Christ is all. Christ is our single object of faith. He's the giver of it. He's the sustainer of faith. And He's also the single object of our faith. We don't hope in anything else but Christ. We trust in nothing else but Christ. Christ is our single hope of the forgiveness of sin. How is it a sinner is forgiven of our sin? By the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's forgiveness in Him and only in Him. Christ is our single hope of redemption. We're not redeemed with corruptible things. Silver and gold aren't redeemed with corruptible things that we can do or give up. But we're redeemed, Peter said, with the precious blood of Christ. He's our sole hope of redemption. In whom we have redemption. In whom? It's all in Him. The Lord Jesus Christ is our single hope of righteousness. I've said this many, many, many times. Righteousness is not a thing. Righteousness is not a thing that Christ gives. It's not a state before God that He gives. It's not a standing before God that Christ gives. Christ is our righteousness. Righteousness is a person. And when we see that Christ is the single focus of the gospel is a person. The gospel is not a set of doctrines. The gospel is a person. And you'll understand it and you'll see it if He's your single focal point. If you're looking at Him and Him alone. Christ is our righteousness. For He, God the Father, hath made Him, God the Son, sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. In Him, because He is our righteousness. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. So this is really the question of questions. Is Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is he your only righteousness? Is he all of your righteousness? Or do you have to do something to add to it to make it effectual? It's one or the other, isn't it? Well, if something that you do has to be added to the righteousness of Christ, to Christ our righteousness, you'll be damned. I will too. If I've got to do something to add to Christ, I will be damned. Because everything I've ever done, everything I ever will do, is completely sinful. And that makes me unrighteous. But if Christ is all of your righteousness, he's your only hope of righteousness, then your body's full of light. You are righteous. Christ is our single hope of sanctification, of holiness. We don't become holy because we live a holy life. Nothing we do is holy. Christ is our holiness. Christ is our sanctification. Ye are in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. It's all him. Christ is our single hope of not being condemned. Does that ever scare you to think, I just did something awful and God's going to get me for it? What is our single hope of not being condemned? It's Christ. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. There is therefore no condemnation to them which don't sin very much. That's not what it says, is it? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. He's our single hope of not being condemned. Christ is our single hope, our single source of peace with God. We can't make our peace with God. Christ did. He hath made peace for us by the blood of his cross. The blood took away the sin that made God angry, and there's peace. But it's only in Christ. Christ is our single source of reconciliation with God. Now, Adam caused this division between men and God. Well, there's got to be reconciliation. Who can bridge the gap between God and men? Only the Lord Jesus Christ, who came by him, Paul said, to reconcile all things unto himself. Christ reconciled his people to God. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and he's given to us this ministry of reconciliation that says, now you stack your arms, you surrender, and be reconciled to God. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians, the first chapter. Verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you, even you, they were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. See, Christ is our single hope of reconciliation. It's all in Christ, what he accomplished in his flesh for his people. And those people are reconciled. They're reconciled to God. They're friends with God because Christ, by his obedience, and by his death, made those people holy, without sin. He made them unblameable. Nobody can blame them for anything. Christ took it all away. He made them holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. Nobody can charge them with anything. So they're reconciled to God. But that can only happen in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our single hope of reconciliation. Christ is our single source of life. Christ is our life. I know I've heard scientists and medical people talk about physical life. They say so hard to define. What is it that's life in the body? You can't touch it. You just know when it's there and when it's not there. It's so hard to define. Well, spiritually it's not. Spiritually it's not. Christ is our life. Not only is he the giver of our life, the sustainer of our life, Christ is our life. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. He is our life. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Christ is our single hope. Whatever it is you're hoping for, it's in Christ. He's our single hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. 1 Timothy 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Now those words, which is, are in italics. You just cross them out. They were added by the translators, and they did a lot of damage to this passage. The Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. That's exactly what Paul said. The Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Our hope is a person. Is a person. Christ is our single satisfaction. What is it that gives you satisfaction so that you don't want anything else? It can only be Christ. David spoke for every believer. As for me, David said, I'll behold thy face in righteousness. Now that's my hope. And if Christ is my hope, that's a good hope. I'm going to behold his face in righteousness. I'll tell you when I'll be satisfied, David said. You think of everything David had. Everything David saw, and he said, I'll tell you when I'll be satisfied. Not yet, but I'll tell you when I will be satisfied. When I awake with thy likeness. Then I won't want anything else, because I'll have it all. Christ is our single satisfaction. And if something else would make us satisfied, if we think something else would make us satisfied, we'll never be satisfied, because it won't. But if Christ is our satisfaction, we'll be satisfied. Christ is the single reason that Almighty God would give us anything. Do you think of that? Everything we have has come from God's hand. He gave it to us freely, didn't he? Everything. You think, well, I went to the store and bought that. You know, I signed a mortgage and on my house and I bought that. I'm going to work to pay for that. Well, that's true. Who gave you the job? Job's a hard thing to find. Who gave you the job? Who gave you the health to get up every morning and go to that job? Who did that? Everything we have, God's given us. Well, can you think of a reason God gave you anything? Can you think of a reason that anything you've done would cause God to give you anything? Not if we're honest. Christ is the single reason that God would give us anything. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Everything we have that God gives to his people, he gives to them for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. And if Christ is your single hope of all these things that we've just talked about, without anything that you add to it, is that true that Christ is your only hope? He is your only source of peace. He's your only source of righteousness. He's your only... The only way you can be satisfied, if that's true, then your whole body is full of life. But if you think you've got to add something, or you've got to do something to make those things effectual for you, then my friend, you're in great darkness and great danger. Salvation is in a look. Look and live. Look to one place. Look to one person and live. Don't look to Christ plus your repentance. Don't look to Christ plus your baptism. Don't look to Christ plus your moral life. Don't look to Christ plus your good works. Don't look to Christ plus your good doctrine. Look to Christ and Christ alone. Trust Christ and Christ alone, and your whole body will be full of light and life.
But if you look to Christ, plus anything you've done, no matter how small it is, that one small thing blocks out Christ completely. Blocks out the light completely. The Apostle Paul said, if you're circumcised, and that doesn't just mean circumcision, it means any one point of the law. If you try to keep any one point of the law to be saved or to be more saved, the Word of God says, Christ shall profit you nothing. That one attempt to keep the law made Christ profit you nothing. That one little thing blocked out Christ completely and left you in full, total darkness. The darkness of death and unbelief. Do you know how Paul knew that his countrymen were still in the darkness of unbelief? Oh, they were religious, weren't they? Oh, they're so religious. I mean, their lives, their society revolved around religion. They're very religious. But Paul said, they're in darkness. You know how he knew that? Because they were in ignorance, going about to establish their own righteousness, and they would not submit themselves to the righteousness of God. That left them in total darkness. In closing, I want you to turn back to Genesis chapter 3. The gospel is single. The gospel does not present us with a choice to be made. You believe Christ because you have no other choice. God's given you a nature that believes Him and can't believe anything else. You look to Christ because God's given you a nature that looks to Him and can't look anywhere else, can't find any comfort anywhere else. The gospel's single. Salvation is single. And if somebody presents that to you as a choice to be made, I want you to remember what I'm about to say. If somebody presents this as a choice to you, it's satanic. It's satanic. This matter of choosing started with Satan. Look at Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, God didn't say that. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. God just said, don't eat of it. I don't know where this came from. This is Eve's idea. If Adam told her, probably a good idea. We don't even touch that. That way we don't, whatever. But that's not what God said. All God said is, don't eat of that tree. And the day you eat of it, dying thou shalt die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. And I kind of wonder where she added to the word of God there, if he didn't touch that tree, he didn't touch that fruit and say, see, I didn't die. See, I didn't die. And he says in verse 5, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Satan said, you eat this fruit. This is what God knows. Your eyes are going to be opened, and you're going to know good, and you're going to know evil, and you're going to be able to choose between the two of them. And you making that choice is going to make you more righteous. It's going to make you more saved. It's not going to make you dependent upon God because you make the choice. You're going to know what's good and what's evil. And Eve ate that fruit. And not one thing happened. Not one thing changed. Because Eve was in Adam, her federal head. But when Adam ate that fruit, Adam and Eve both died. They died. When Adam ate that fruit, their eyes were opened, but their eyes weren't open to good and evil. Their eyes were only open to evil. They were filled with darkness. All they saw was evil. All they saw was hatred. All they felt was unbelief. When that happened to Adam, that happened to us. Just like it did Eve, because he's our federal head. We're in him. When he took that fruit, we were filled with darkness. So the only way we'll ever be filled with light is to look to Christ and Christ alone. Now I pray that the Lord would give us the faith to do just that, to look to Christ and Christ alone. I pray that the Lord give us a heart like Mary, that we would seek that one thing, just need that one thing, which is Christ alone. And really, nothing else matters, does it? Nothing else matters. Nothing matters about me. Nothing matters about mine. Nothing else matters. But looking to Christ alone. And if we do, if God will give us the grace to do that, our whole body will be filled with light. All right, I hope the Lord bless that to you.